Well, we're looking at lesson number 3 of our Heart for the House series, and it's been a great series so far. I've enjoyed teaching it, and I've been hearing good things about it. And well, you showed up again this week, so that's positive. And we're looking at God's house and our place in His house, what it means to be part of the house of God. We believe that the local church, a strong local church, is the hope of the world. We also know that we develop a heart for the things that we respect in life. And so we're working on those things. And today we're going to talk about aligning our life with God's vision for His house. Aligning our life with God's vision for His house. And we're looking at Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 18. And the Bible says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Will not conquer it. Jesus said, "I will build my church." It's His church. He's taken ownership of it. He's creating it. He's developing it from day one. And He reveals in this passage His singular focus. What is He trying to do singularly? He's focused in on this one thing. He said, "I will build my church." That's the focus of Christ. In fact, when He seeks and saves the lost, it's to build His church. Whenever He heals the sick, it's to build His church. Whenever He reaches someone and encourages their heart and their mind, it's to build His church. Every aspect of what Jesus does in our life and in our world, it's for the sake of building His church. When somebody's far from God and they become close to God and they're saved, they become part of His church. And sometimes it's us. He's working on us. He's building us. How many know that if you're a homeowner, there's a time where you have to do some repairs on what already exists? That's the worst kind of advancement to me. It's just repairing what already exists. And yet I'm thankful that sometimes Jesus does a new work in my heart. And He repairs certain things in my life. And that is building His church. Everything He does is about building His church. He's very intentional about what He does. And His whole intention is to get the gospel message of Jesus Christ to the people who do not yet know Him so that they can know Him and His church will be built. So our big idea today, if you're taking notes in the center of your bulletin, there's an opportunity there to take some notes. The big idea is this: you're never more aligned with Jesus than when you join Him in building His church. I know that in my life, when people are aligned with me, when we're working together, it changes the dynamic of our relationship. I met Pastor Benton a little more than 6 months ago, about 8 months ago now, 8-9 months ago, and I just knew that I was going to have a video call with two people, and the call comes up, and it's Pastor Benton Cole, who you just saw here, and then it was also Mr. Steve Supritz, who was a long time and very strong part of our congregation, and their faces came up on my screen, and I was scared. We had a great conversation. It was supposed to last for a few minutes, and it ended up lasting a fairly decent amount of time. And we began a relationship. But they were just these guys that you know were up there in the cold north while I was in the warm south. And I didn't know them. And you know, if I never heard from them again, it probably wasn't going to change my world very much. But hearing from them again did change my world a little bit. And now I'm also in the cold north. But we heard from them again, and we began a dialogue, and then we got to know. And now we work together on a regular basis. And the way I look at Pastor Benton, the way I receive Pastor Benton, the way I receive Mr. Steve Supritz, the way the relationship has developed has shifted entirely. He was a part of the church. I was a part of the Universal Church. He was a part of the Universal Church. It wasn't that he was lost and now he's found. He was already found, and I was already found. It's just two guys that were found became aligned. And when we became aligned, suddenly the relationship shifted, and now he speaks into my life very openly and helps in my world, and then I have the privilege of doing the same for him, and now we're working together on the same thing, and we're seeing God do beautiful stuff, and that's exactly what happens. You can be part of God's universal church without ever being aligned in the building of his church, but the relationship is different. You will miss out on a beautiful thing that God wants to do through you and in you and with you. You'll miss out on it because you're not aligned with what he's trying to do and the goals of his life and the goals of his existence and his own professed vision. You're not aligned with it. And so getting aligned is a key to strength and happiness and excitement in your Christian walk. We have a consumer mentality that thrives in our world today. When we go to places that we like their service, we like their offering, and if we don't like it, we just don't go back again. And we have no desire to fix it, we just don't participate any longer. In fact, that's why Amazon does such a great business right now, because I don't have to go anywhere. I can sit in my bed in my PJs and click and click and click and click and spend thousands of dollars, and it all just shows up right at my door, and I don't have to go anywhere. And they're easy to work with, and if you want to return something, it's not a problem. And it's all very simple because I'm a consumer, and it's beautiful. And in that world, it's okay. But a person can be a consumer in the church as well. In fact, right now, you could come into this church and you could use every offering of the church. You could get counseling and you could drink the coffee. You can. And we want you to. It's there for that. You can run the tap water for an hour. Please don't. But you could. You can use all the toilet paper. We'll get more. You can do whatever you want to do. In fact, you can sign up for things that you never show up for. You can. You can join a team and just cancel constantly. Not going to be there, not going to be there, not going to be there, not going to be there. And here's the thing. Anywhere else, they would ask you to leave. I know two men that went to an all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet, and after three hours, they were asked to leave and stop eating. Everywhere else, it said all you can eat, and they were eating. But they were finally asked to leave the restaurant. Anywhere else, you would be asked to leave, but in the church, we would still love you. Jesus says we have to. But we would love you to reach you. We would love you to reach you, but it will not be a consumer Christian that changes the world. It will not be a consumer Christian that makes a difference in the world that they are in. The consumer Christian will consume and maybe be comfortable in themselves, but they will not reach out into the world around them to make a difference. World changers are those who align their lives with the vision of Christ. And my encouragement today is be a world changer. Align your life with Jesus by building his house. And there is a benefit to your life and mine when we do that. When his house grows, because we are part of his house, we grow. Right now, I just got a report a few minutes ago that we have 20 to 30, and I don't know the exact number, but between 20 and 30 people taking Financial Peace University right now. They're growing. We've got people in life groups and classes that are growing together. We grow because we're invested. We grow because we're part of it. It's exciting. It benefits his kingdom, and it benefits us because we are his kingdom. So the question becomes this: how do I align with Jesus and help build his house? You might be asking that question today, and I'm so happy that you are. Because I have three thoughts for us today. Thought number one is this: you can build Christ's church when you gather with joyful expectation. Joyful expectation. I'm not a real big fan of the idea of a church service. Or let's go to church. Because if I am the church, then wherever I am, be the church. Where two or more are gathered, there he is. So there's the church. But when we do talk about a service, I like more like we're going to the gathering of the church, or the meeting of the church. And it gets cumbersome. I understand going to church, it's slang, it's easy, it's nothing right or wrong. It's just a preference. But a service itself is simply an organized gathering or an organized meeting of the church. That's what we're talking about. And so Hebrews chapter 10 talks to us about this thing called meeting and why it's important to meet. He says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Have you ever tried to motivate somebody who wasn't there? Have you ever tried to motivate someone when you weren't there? Difficult. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. The Bible's simply saying, show up to the meeting. Our meetings are designed to be consistently inspiring and encouraging and motivational. And so here we are, putting all that together, and we're coming together. But some people approach the meeting of the church kind of like Bobby. And Bobby showed up to the game really late, and his friend Jim was already there, and he gets there, and you know, the game's well underway, and Jim says, man, where have you been? The game's, I mean, you're halfway through the game already. What's going on? And Bobby's like, yeah, I know, I've just been really struggling this morning. I was trying to decide whether to go to church or whether to go to the game, and you know, church or game, and I was just really struggling. Jim was like, man, that seems like a pretty simple, you know, question. I mean, why did it take so long? He said, well, I decided to flip a coin, you know, to see what God would want me to do and, you know, what I ought to do. And so Jim said, well, flipping a coin, that's pretty simple. And he said, yeah, but I had to flip it 35 times. It took a while to convince God that the game's where I needed to go. And so so sometimes that's how we approach the meeting or the gathering of the church. It's like, do I do this or do I do something else? Is there some other thing that I could be doing or need to be doing? And suddenly the gathering doesn't seem to always be the priority. And so I encourage you, gather with joyful expectation. Because you can't build anything, you can't align with Christ in the building of His church whenever you're not there. Your presence makes a difference. It makes a difference to you. When I approach something with joyful expectation, then I get more out of it. I promise you one thing, you will find what you're looking for wherever you go. If you walk into a place and you expect to be treated poorly and you expect to be offended, then you will find offense in some manner. You will. Somebody will look at you. They don't even know you. This morning, I felt so bad. I met a young couple with a beautiful baby, and they're here this morning, and I thought I had met them before, and so I'm talking to them like I've met them before, and they keep telling me, no, they've never met me before, and I think they're being nice because I've met so many of you that I don't remember meeting you, and so now I act like I do know that I remember meeting you, and then they finally broke down and said, this is our first time here. They were being really kind. What they should have said is, hey, dude, shut up. Move on. We don't want to talk to you anymore. We don't know you. Maybe not quite that rude. But anyway, my point is that I felt bad doing that. And I probably made him mad, upset now. I apologize for that. I didn't think about it when I started the story. But I just expect to know people. I expect to know people. I expect to say hello. I enjoy meeting everybody. It's a lot of fun. And so there's joyful expectation. If you're expecting to know someone, I expected to know someone and I knew someone that I didn't know. You'll find what you're looking for. I'm so sorry. You'll find what you're looking for. When you approach something with joyful expectation, you're going to get something good out of it. It's going to benefit and bless your life. But it also encourages others. When you come in here and you're excited and when you join the gathering, whether it's here or in a small group or in a life group or in a class of any kind, you go in there and you're excited and you're smiling and you're ready to receive and you're ready to participate. It changes the dynamic. I know that sometimes I can come into a place and maybe into a gathering like this and I'll be kind of down in my spirit and I'm not feeling really good. But I look around and I watch somebody start to worship and I see somebody sharing their heart with Jesus and suddenly I want to go in that direction. It's kind of like a yawn. If I yawn right now, a whole bunch of you are going to yawn. And then if you yawn, I'm going to yawn again. Then that's going to cause another reaction. And other people are going to... And all of a sudden, everybody's yawning and we're all going to lay down and take a nap. And then third service is going to be really awkward when they come in because we'll all be sleeping. And so we're not going to do that. But that's kind of how worship is. You lift up your heart, you lift up your voice, you lift up your hands, you express yourself in worship, and suddenly it gives someone else the liberty to do so. Somebody wrote me a nice note this week, and they said, I want to thank you for, in essence, how you worship. When you share your emotion with us, it causes me to feel free to also share my emotions with Christ as I worship, and that frees me to do that. I'm so thankful that it frees you to do that, but you doing that also frees others to do the same. You don't have to lift your hands if you want to, but if you want to, lift your hands. You don't have to cry if you don't want to, but if you want to, cry. The point is that we express what we feel in our heart, and it allows us to encourage others to do the same. Praise God. Thought number two is this. You build Christ's church when you invest generously. A man told me years ago, he said, Pastor, I don't go to church. I don't go to church because all the church wants is your money. Do you know how rude it is to say that to a pastor? And I told him, I said, no, sir. I want far more than your money. We're looking for your heart. I'm not worried about your money. My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills too. I'm not worried about your money. I am interested in your heart. Absolutely. The scripture says in Luke 12:34, he says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. My paraphrase is this: if you find your treasure, you'll find your heart. Now, if I look at your checkbook, I will discover where your heart is. Some of you may be wondering, checkbook, is that a new app for my phone? Can I get that? I think predominantly in the 12 o'clock service, we're going to have more of that, but it exists here too. It's not an app, it's how you keep track of your funds. But if we look at how you use your funds, then you're going to discover where your heart really is. And I don't want to make anyone upset here this morning, but some of you, I will discover your heart for golf by looking at your checkbook. Winning friends, influencing people, baby doll. That's what I do. some folks, I'll discover your love for your children as you're paying for them to do all kinds of amazing things. Some of you, I'll discover your love for things that I completely do not comprehend at all. I look at some industries today and I just wonder who is supporting this. And you may think that too. In fact, there's one, I'll name one or two here. There's one industry that I do not get at all. One that my father-in-law participates in. Model trains. Little smoke puffs come out of the smokestack, and he spends 90% of his life aligning tracks and fixing problems and painting trees and little people and little tiny people that have weird eyes and just it's... I don't get it. I'm glad he does it, and if you do it too, God bless you. But his checkbook reveals that he loves model trains. I had a friend of mine named Tom who collected all, from the beginning, all of the toys that went in Happy Meals and McDonald's. Completely fascinated by it. And he kept telling me, Michael, you'll never believe what this toy is worth. This thing's $1,000. Only because you paid it. I could have gotten it for like $4.99 and gotten a burger and a fry with it. I just don't get it. And if that's your thing, okay. Star Wars characters. How about those dolls that men play with that they now call action figures? I don't get that either. I know, I'm not making people happy. I apologize. I see people right now. I envision emails and letters and stuff. Do it with whatever. It's your money. Use it like you want. Be passionate about a figurine. Anyway, be passionate about it. I'm all done with that. But how we use our funds reveals where our heart is. Some guys will take all their money and spend it on an engagement ring and not tell the girl that they're broke now when they propose. I'm glad. I hope they're an FPU right now. Hope they're an FPU. It'll help them. Here's the fact. Where our heart is, that's where our treasure goes. Generosity in the kingdom of God is not an amount issue. It's a heart issue. We read today in our reading in the Vine Mentor series, in the Vine Mentor plan, we read in Luke 21 where the widow brought an offering, and it was just a very tiny offering, a small offering, two mites in some translations, and she gave it, and Jesus said that she gave more than everyone else because she had given out of her lack versus out of her abundance, and he was saying her heart is in the house of God, and so she gave generously to the house of God. It's not an amount issue, it's a heart issue. When we talk about a biblical standard of giving, a tithe was a 10% that God gave to Israel as a standard of their giving. And he said, anybody can give in this manner. He didn't give them an amount to give. He gave them a percentage to give. And he said, that's because if you're making boatloads of money, then you're able to give according to what you've made. But if you're making a very small amount of money, there's no way you can match the gift of somebody who's making far more than you. And that's not what God is asking or ever has asked. He said, you can give the same percentage. So it's not about an equal amount, it's about an equal sacrifice. He's saying, if your heart's in the house, you'll invest generously in the house. The impact we make from this congregation is 100% supported by the generosity of this congregation. We don't have an endowment that we work from. We don't have a bunch of investments that we work from, as many churches do. We operate from what is here. And so that means that according to our generosity, that equals the impact that we can have in the community around us, the world around us. And I thank God that we have a very generous church. I'm excited about what God is doing in our church. But I'll tell you, we don't typically talk about who gives what and how, and we never will. But what I will tell you is that for me and my house, we tithe. My wife and I, tithing is our starting point. I'm telling you that because I want you to know that this is not something I preach or teach to other people that I don't participate in. Tithing is our starting point. You may find another, but that's the starting point for me and my house. And so I encourage you, as you align with Christ, there'll be a time when you begin to invest generously in the house of God because your heart is in the house. Praise God. Thought number three. You build Christ's church when you serve faithfully. Every single story in Scripture about somebody making a difference is also a story about somebody being involved. In the time I've been here at McCord, I've not heard anybody say, I attend McCord because, wow, it has such a nice building and, you know, it's situated in a very convenient location. But I've had many people tell me, I attend this church because there's so many wonderful people. I attend this church because I'm connected with friends and family, and I have a social group around me, and God is doing. In fact, my mother-in-law, she and my father-in-law and Lucas were here for Christmas, and they came to all five Christmas Eve services. And when we were going, after we got home that night, she said, "You know what amazed me?" I said, it was the dynamic preaching of your son-in-law. And oddly, she said, no. She said, "What amazed me is I looked around and everybody that was involved, everybody was so happy. Everybody was happy to be involved. They didn't even look like they were tired. They'd been there serving all day. Didn't even look like they were tired or struggling. It looked like they were excited about it." I said, "That's because we gave them lots of caffeine." Maybe we did. It's because people had a heart for the house and they were serving. That's the kind of church that we have here at McCord Road. It's a beautiful thing. When you serve faithfully, you're building the kingdom. By serving, you empower the gospel to be shared. So as you are involved in building Christ Church, you are as responsible for the gospel being shared as the person that's standing on any stage giving the sermon. You might not be called to do this, but you're called to do something. And you say, well, if I could do that, I'd really be doing something for the kingdom. But no. That's not accurate, because building the kingdom is not standing on a stage. When you serve in kids ministry, when you serve in student ministry, when you lead or participate in a life group or a class, when you participate as an usher or as a singer or as a greeter or as a musician or you pray with the prayer team or you help people as they come into the parking lot or whatever it is that you may do, you are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are empowering the gospel to be shared with those who need Him. And so, get involved. Get involved. You're building the kingdom of God. But in your life, you're the only one who can intentionally make the choice to say yes to service, to say yes to generosity, to say yes to consistently attending and showing up and participating in worship of our God. You're the only one. Only one. And maybe you're holding back this morning on your personal alignment with Jesus in these areas. You're holding back because, well, maybe, honestly, you've just been hurt. You've been hurt by the church. And if I asked you, don't raise your hands, don't blink, don't nod, don't do anything, but if I asked you, how many people in this room have been hurt by the church before? I would almost guarantee almost every hand would go up and mine would be included. Been hurt by the church before, and the reason I've been hurt by the church is because there's people in the church. The church would be so much better if there weren't any people. And it wouldn't be the church. Because sometimes people hurt people. And that is the fact no matter where you go. Do you know that I've been insulted before by people at Target? That's why I never go to Target anymore. And I was treated rudely, by an employee at Walmart. So I don't go to Walmart anymore. And do you know I've had poor service at different restaurants? So you know what? I just don't go to any of those restaurants anymore. And by the time I've checked off the list of every single place I've ever been treated badly by a person, basically, I sit alone in my house all by myself. And I can't stand my own company because I've been rude to myself too. I've treated myself poorly. You're never going to go anywhere on the planet where the opportunity to be hurt is not there. It's not that you've been hurt. Everybody's been hurt. Your hurt makes you common. It's how you deal with your hurt that makes you an uncommon individual. I've been hurt, but maybe you're saying, listen, I've been hurt and I've just taken some time to just kind of hang back and hold back and get myself together. There's wisdom in that. And if that's your place right now, maybe you've come from a place or a situation where you've just been, everything's been drained out of you. And you're like, I just need some time to sit and relax before I get, you know, just re-energize with Christ before I do anything else. Take the time you need. Please take the time you need. This house is a healthy house. Pull in all the health that you can from the house and let Jesus restore you. We want that to happen. But if you've been doing that for 22 years, then it might be time to re-engage. To find out what is Christ calling you to. It's not a matter of you going to heaven or not. That's a salvation thing. This is an engagement thing. And I promise you this, whenever you engage in the house, then it gets more exciting. It's more powerful. You receive more from it. So now I'd ask you to just bow your heads with me and close your eyes and ask the Holy Spirit. Open your heart and ask the Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say to me through this sermon today? What are you trying to say to me through this sermon? Is there an area of my life that I've just pulled back from? Your house? It isn't an issue or a push for anything in particular. I want you to notice that I haven't said anything particular as far as, so we need this or we need that. We don't need that. God is blessing this church. This is about you and your engagement and your heart for the house. You say, well, if I give anything, I can't give a lot. Give as God has blessed you to give. It's not equal amounts, it's equal sacrifice. Well, if I serve, I can't serve in every area. No, find one area that you can serve in. It's not about putting pressure to do everything, it's just doing something. Sometimes it's just trying to show up. Maybe right now the only thing you can do is show up with joyful expectation. That will add so much to the house. You'll bless so many in the house as God blesses you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your people right now. You're developing something in us. You're doing something in us that's beautiful. You're investing your greatest resource in this house, and that is your people. You're drawing people into this house. That's why we're growing. It's not about us. It's not what we're doing. It's you. It's your presence, and it's your timing, and there's 50-some-odd years of seed that have been put into the ground in Sylvania, and it's good seed, and we honor that seed, and we honor where we're at today because of what has already been done. And now you're allowing us to see a harvest from that. And we're so humbled and we're so grateful. Help us to get a heart for your house, to attend with joyful expectation, to invest generously, to serve faithfully. And just see what you can do when we align our lives with your vision for your house. In Jesus' name, amen.